We thank you, Lord, that this letter was sent to so many churches in the first century and has continued to be received by so many churches ever since. May we be a church who receives your word with eagerness. And will you write this on our hearts so that it may be lived in our lives for your name's sake. Amen. Well, we start this new book of the Bible. Please keep your Bibles open on that page, 250 in the New Testament. The first letter of Peter. And this is the book we're following through in a sort of Sunday teaching series through May and June. And also in the small groups, the home groups. And there's a home group leaders meeting on Wednesday to help that forward. And the first two of the studies are available on the ledge at the back. Peter's first letter. That's Simon Peter the fisherman. You remember? The fisherman who became one of the 12 apostles. And indeed a leader of the church in Jerusalem and later in Rome. And he introduces himself right at the beginning. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. If you're wondering whether Peter, who was a fisherman, would be capable of writing such a letter, he did get some help. Silvanus, it says, at the end of the last chapter, helped him in the writing of it. But it is Peter's letter. And we see what he puts, like on the envelope of the letter, in verses 1 and 2. He says, to the exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, and a few other places, which are in the area of the modern state of Turkey. And the point is, they were exiles. They didn't really belong there. As part of the dispersion, they were part of the spread of God's people from Palestine in the direction of Europe. And it sounds a lot like they were what we might call refugees, living in a place which wasn't their home. A bit like so many passing through these areas of Turkey today. But let's be a little clearer and get to grips with this this address, this label, if you like, to the letter in verses 1 and 2. Many of the Christians in these areas of Turkey would have been Gentile Christians, non-Jews. And Peter will have been very aware that St. Paul, was the apostle for the Gentiles. So I think in the way that he says it, Peter is being a bit careful and diplomatic. Peter is leader of the mission to the Jewish people. And he uses Jewish-sounding words, exiles and dispersion or diaspora. And in a way, that's only respectful and polite. He's showing that his fellow Jews are the ones he has most in mind. And yet, it was a letter for everyone to hear, not just the Jews. And in one sense, all Christians are like refugees on this earth. We belong with Christ in heaven. But we find ourselves here on earth for a season and sometimes don't feel at home in the societies we find ourselves within. So Peter addresses his letter in Jewish style with all Christians in mind. Because, as it says in verse 2, all Christians have been chosen by God. When we think of how we came to Christ, the implication of what he's saying here is we do well to think less I chose God and much more God chose me. The Lord is the one in charge. And Peter says the Lord has a plan from beginning to end. And if we're Christians, it's because we have been chosen and destined by God, our Heavenly Father. His is the initiative, ours is the grateful response. and God's work in us is the work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You can see that coming out in verse 2. God is bigger than we can understand or conceive, and has revealed himself as the Holy Trinity. One God, three persons. We see it here in verse 2. The Heavenly Father chose and destined us. The Spirit sanctifies us and makes us want to be obedient to Jesus Christ, from whom we receive salvation. So, all of that's there in this sort of address label. And a bit more. Can you see where it says to be sprinkled with his blood at the end of the first big paragraph? There's an allusion there to the Old Testament. When Moses was leading God's people, the Old Testament people of God at Mount Sinai, he did animal sacrifices and sprinkled some of the blood on the people. And there's an allusion going on there. Jesus' death on the cross is the only sacrifice needed for our salvation. And it's like all those who bow to Jesus and are obedient to him are, through his lifeblood shed on the cross, made God's people today. We're God's people because of Jesus' blood shed for us, like sprinkled on us. Well, that's the address label of the letter. Because these letters were first written on scrolls, and the postman brought the scroll, you broke the seal, and you read the first part, which was like the greeting. There wasn't an envelope or anything. It was the first part of the scroll. And this wasn't just a greeting. Peter is an apostle of Jesus Christ and wishes them God's blessing. May grace and peace be yours in abundance. And now, here in verse 3, the letter gets going. And we're doing verses 3 to 12 as our section for this first of our Bible studies for the home groups, the first of our series of teaching. Verse 3a, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why should we bless the Lord? Three reasons are given in this little section. And one, we should bless the Lord because of our hope for the future. Verse 3, by his great mercy he has given us a new birth into a living hope. So when we are born again, when God in his mercy brings us to Christ, gives us new birth, we become Christian believers, and suddenly our future looks very different. We're given hope, a living hope, because of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Jesus' resurrection makes our future resurrection possible, and our new birth makes our future resurrection sure. And the picture that's used there is like an inheritance. If somebody has written a will, it's signed and sealed, the deed is done, and the inheritance is sure. It's that sort of picture which is given regarding our hope. Christians are confident of the future with God. Not because of stuff to do with us, because we think we deserve it, but because of stuff to do with Jesus Christ. The future hope with the Lord is like an inheritance, signed and sealed, God's gift. And we bless the Lord that it's God's gift. And this hope, it's life transforming. One of my favorite films is The Shawshank Redemption. And its main theme is the transforming power of hope. Hope is such a good thing going forward. A transforming thing. And here we are, only 3 weeks after Easter Sunday, we're still celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which gives us hope. Not only gives us hope, makes our hope secure. What a great thing. That's why we should bless the Lord. Because of the gift of hope. Hope for the future. There's a second reason. And that's because of our present trials. Can you see verse 6 to 9? Now, verse 6 is a rather startling verse to comfort to comfortable people or complacent people, but a very comforting verse for Christians suffering trials and persecutions. It says, "In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials." So we bless the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we rejoice, we find joy, even in the trials of the present. And this life is often unfair and difficult and worse if we seek to live lives faithful to Jesus. And what it's saying is that even though it can be tough, very tough, we can still rejoice. Rising to the challenge is good. Trials of many kind are the challenge, which shows our faith to be genuine, precious, tested, proven, and so brings great recognition when we meet Jesus at the end. And the picture used here, the picture in the previous thing was an inheritance. The picture used here is the furnace in which precious metals are purified. Can you see in verse 7, being more precious than gold, that, though perishable, is tested by fire. Christine, in the first service, was explaining how she, in Thailand, saw silversmiths melting the silver on a hot fire. And they watched it all the time because it was so precious. And as it got very hot, any impurities in the metal came to the top of the liquid metal and were brushed away so that what was left was pure silver. This is the picture of what goes on, the positive thing of what goes on when Christians face trials, persecutions, trouble because of their faith. Genuine faith brings a marvelous outcome. Genuine faith is proved in the midst of trials and brings a marvelous outcome, the salvation of our souls, and this should make us joyful. So the present trials go alongside rejoicing, and we bless the Lord because of our present trials. Peter had learned this the hard way. He'd learned that trials weren't all bad and that they could bring great good. He hadn't always thought that. Don't know if you can remember, there's a very significant bit where Peter first puts his faith in Jesus. And then Jesus said that now he needed to go to Jerusalem, undergo suffering, be rejected and killed, and be raised on the third day. And Peter had said, no, that's not right. And Jesus had said, oh yes it is, get behind me, Satan. So Peter had learnt this lesson. With trials come joy. Present trials are the proving ground for the genuine faith which receives salvation. Why should we bless the Lord? Future hope, present trials, and then in verses 10 to 12, past promises. Can you see in this section, it's talking about the prophets of the Old Testament who tell us about the grace that can be ours. I'd encourage you to read the Old Testament well. Peter realized he should have read it better. There were lots of things that Jesus said that he just didn't get because he didn't realize that they were coming from the Old Testament and what they meant for him and his future. Because the prophets of the Old Testament foretold the sufferings of Jesus Christ, which were for his glory. And the prophets of the Old Testament knew they were helping future generations to understand the good news of God. Jesus often told Peter to remember what the Old Testament said in order to grasp the purposes of God. Peter was slow to catch on, but we can see he's got it now as he writes this letter. Past promises fulfilled in Jesus Christ, which help us to receive the good news. And we bless the Lord for this as well. Three good reasons to bless the Lord at the start of this letter, which we are studying in home groups as well as hearing from on Sundays through May and June. Three good reasons to bless the Lord. A future hope. Joy in present trials. And purpose from past promises. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Please help us to make the most of this letter, 1 Peter, in the coming weeks, for our benefit and for the benefit of those around us. For your name's sake, amen.